Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
You are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. A little bit of a movement, baseball-wise, as we're seeing John Morosi, amongst other kind of baseball newsbreakers.
John Heyman,
also one of those. Kind of pointing to the idea that Kyle Tucker trade talks between the Cubs and the Astros have, quote, continued to gain momentum.
They're close.
A lot of pointing in that direction that Kyle Tucker might be on the move maybe by the end of today. We'll keep you up to date with that as we continue. But I gotta get back to the Army-Navy of it all, because we are here in D.C. For the 125th edition of the game. And we're joined now by a man who knows a little bit about these two programs, these two institutions, and a lot about football. He is Mike Mayock. Mike, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
No, it is quite a pleasure to have you here, because we've got a lot of just general football stuff they'd like to talk about. But yeah, for me, this is my first time being at one of these things. And, I mean, you know a lot about these teams in a way that not a lot of other people do, because you were telling us you've played against these programs. What is it that just makes these games so special and so challenging comparatively?
They basically take a sledgehammer to each other for 60 minutes, okay? And somebody's left standing at the end of the day. And then the most special thing of the whole day happens, believe it or not, when the game's over.
Yeah.
And that's when they do the alma mater. And basically the senior athletes from both teams will go down to the end zone first, the losing team, then the winning team, and they hug each other and they sing each other's alma mater. And you can see them crying, you can see them bleeding, and you think about how they just took this sledgehammer for 60 and now they're going to go out and protect the country. And it's just a little bit different than any other college football game I've ever been around.
Call it America's game. But let's talk about the big news here. And I tried to let you know, you've probably been asked a lot about Bill Belichick today.
Yeah.
You're going to be asked again
because
it is an incredible thing. First of all, the concept of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been in that position where you could, you've been in the NFL at the highest levels. The concept of just going back and doing college, having never done it before.
Look, I played for Bill Belichick for the New York Giants. And I made the team in 1982, and he was a 29-year-old special teams coordinator and linebacker coach. And my dad was a coach, okay? Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time practice I went through with Belichick, I called my dad and said, "Dad, this dude's different. He's smart. He might be the smartest football guy I've ever been around. He's going to be special." And I had no idea how special he was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, but 8 Super Bowl rings later, okay, he's 72 years old. I happen to think that he's going to hire Mike Lombardi. He's going to be his GM. He's going to bring his group of people in. They're going to run this like a structured franchise like the NFL. And I think 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, I couldn't really imagine it. Mm-hmm. But because of where college football's heading, NIL, the portal, really all that is NFL free agency without any rules.
Yeah.
That's what it is. No salary cap. Go get a bunch of money, put it in a collective, and throw it at high school kids, and then backfill with the portal when you need position filled.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the biggest question people want to know is how's he going to interact with 18-year-old kids? That's all his structure and his toughness and run the hill. And is he going to be able to identify with that kid?
Yeah.
And two things. I think, number one, they'll be able to recruit the right kind of kid. It's just like the Army and Navy kid. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But they're going to find kids all over the country that when he flashes 8 Super Bowl rings and says, I can help you get there, there are people that are going to want to go through what he's going to ask them to do to get there.
Yeah.
Now, there's going to be some fallout, like there is in every program, but that's where the portal comes in. And that's where having a GM of the college program in Mike Lombardi comes in.
Yeah.
So I happen to be amongst the group of people that at first, the last week or so, I was like, I don't know, college. And the more I think about it, the more I think he's smart enough, he understands it, he gets it. I think he's going to run a hell of a program.
What does a general manager of a college program do? Like, if you had that job, because I there's no real definition out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I can assume NIL. I can assume maybe recognizing talent or identifying player. But how would you define it if you had that?
It's not a whole lot different than what is done in the NFL, to be honest. It's a different conversation. But in a nutshell, here's what it is. You're identifying talent at the high school level,
mm-hmm.
right? You're identifying talent at the college level through the portal,
which
is hard. That's the one they're having trouble getting their arms around.
Yeah.
Most colleges are not set up today to evaluate hundreds of kids going into the portal at the same time.
Like a pro scouting department.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's the hard piece of it right now, okay? But you're going to scout high school kids, you're going to scout portal kids, and you're going to have X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
Okay, that you're going to have to assign to both,
mm-hmm.
okay? And you're going to have to run your program based on the dollars available, which is your own salary cap.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more structure. I'd like to have more universal rules around what you can and can't do with money,
mm-hmm.
but it's not there.
No.
So they're going to try to raise as much money as they can, and Mike Lombardi's job as the GM is not going to be that much different philosophically than what an NFL GM
mm-hmm.
is.
Well, speaking of NFL GMs, you were one. We're talking to Mike Mayock, former player, host on Westwood One, and of course, for 3 seasons, you were the general manager of the Raiders. And I think with our team locally, the Houston Texans, I mean, Casero's done a pretty damn good job. But I think we're getting to some points where you're early in the tenure of D'Amico Ryans, there's people that have criticisms of certain pieces of this.
Yeah.
At what point, or like, what are some of the identifying factors that let you know if you need to move on from a particular part of the structure, whether it's a coach or a scout or whatever? Like, what are some of the signs that let you know as a general manager that it might be time to move on from somebody?
Well, I mean, let's look at the big picture for a second in Houston, okay? And you mentioned Nick Caserio. He came from that Belichick tree in New England. I know Nick really well, and I thought he did a hell of a job navigating through some tough times. Okay, three different head coaches in 3 years, if I remember, right?
Yeah.
You know, ownership not sure about some things. Nick was, I think, the glue that kind of kept that together, and he continues to draft very well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson in the same draft class. I mean, you got to be kidding me, right? I mean, he's done some things that has populated that team with young talent. So check. I like what he's doing as a GM. You've got a young head coach that people gravitate towards. I like him also.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you win in the NFL? On a consistent basis, you win with an owner that gets it. You win with a head coach and GM that are tied at the hip philosophically, which I think your guys are.
Yeah, there's definitely synergy there.
And then you need a franchise quarterback, and there aren't many of them out there. Like, by definition, there's maybe 5 or 6 of them, right?
Yeah.
If you want to be good for a long period of time, those are the 3 things you need, okay? So I think they've got the pieces in place, and I think patience is important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I did your game against the Jets, I think it was, on Westwood One Radio, and when I did my tape work, I felt like your interior offensive line was struggling.
Yeah. They were.
Yeah, you did great work, because that's the conversation. Yeah. For sure.
Okay, so when I watched the tape, and I think the left guard got hurt that night, left or right guard got
it
hurt
was
that
left.
Night.
Yes, sir.
And he had the most trouble, I thought, of anybody on that offense heading into the game. I forget who it was.
Kenyon Green. He was getting targeted.
Yeah. So, if I put my GM hat on, and when I was that week when I was doing that game, it was kind of like, okay, good young roster, got to augment that offensive line. Mm-hmm. You know, the wide receiver position was a little bit beat up. How good is John Metchie? Have we figured that out yet?
Right.
You know, he came out of college with the injuries, a talented kid. Is it Tank Dell, Metchie? You know, we've got Nico Collins, another great pick, right? You know, what round they get him in, three?
Third rounder.
Yeah, yes, Nico Collins, right? So, and then you look on defense with Will Anderson and what they're trying to do. I love the Fadakasi signing because he was just a solid, tough free agent. Mm-hmm. So I think they're doing the right things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard to be patient, especially in this day and age where owners want to fire people every other day.
Sure.
But to finalize your answer a little bit, it's just if you're the owner and you see your head coach and GM working together, building a team without panic from the inside out, developing a roster with a young quarterback, I think that's the recipe. And I you know, whether you're happy right now or not, I think they're on the right tangent.
I love that answer. I appreciate the thoroughness that you gave there. And in that, you started talking about the offensive line, and that's been a huge topic of conversation, as I'm sure you can tell. There's a lot of money and there's a lot of assets been invested in this offensive line, and it really does feel like it's coming to a head where there might be big changes that are necessary.
Yeah.
How difficult is it to turn over an offensive line, particularly if it feels like you need a lot of help there all the way across?
And you've paid the two tackles.
Yeah.
And again, my issue was more the interior of the line.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, you've got a guy, one of the guards is who played for Belichick years ago.
Shaq Mason. Yeah. Yes, sir.
You know, he was a wishbone guard at Georgia Tech, you know, but he's 31 plus or minus years old now, you know.
Yeah.
So Shaq, I think his best days are behind him. Mm-hmm. The other guard spot was a problem. I think there was a revolving door at center with injuries. So to answer your question, I mean, it's a combination of draft and free agency. And you can find interior offensive linemen to plug and play that are veteran guys in free agency while you develop young guys.
Yeah.
It's harder to find left tackles that have all kinds of talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can plug and play some veteran guys. You can continue to draft the young guys. I don't see any reason to panic or being jump off any rooftops at this point with Houston.
I know we got to wrap it up, but just real quick, if you can give a quick answer, can Travis Hunter play both ways in the NFL?
I think he wants to. He's 182 pounds. I watched tape of him, like 152 snaps against, I forget, Kansas or whoever it was. I mean, I'm blown away by that young man's ability to play at a high level, a full game. Like in the old days, Charles Woodson or whatever, he just played a package on offense. This kid's playing every snap of every game. It's different. It's special. And I think if I'm an NFL GM or coach that drafts him, I want to find a way to tap into that.
All right. So you think there's a chance, at least at some level.
I don't think he's going to play every snap of every game. But I think there's a good chance that he'll play on both sides of the ball.
Real quick, what's the best way to do that? Would that be like primarily a cornerback with a few packages on offense?
Yes, I see him as a corner day one, and I think you can fit him into your pass game on offense.
That's Mike Mayock, legendary voice, especially on Westwood One. Obviously, a lot of things around football, and we appreciate you imparting some of that football knowledge here.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, man.
Yes, sir. There you go. Mike Mayock, man, what a delight. An absolute delight to talk to him here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. I was interested. I mean, like, patience is the word that was preached there. Both, interestingly, not just in, you know, and I think you get what I was trying to kind of get an idea for, both when it comes to, like, coaching at every level, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then also even the offensive line, which was an interesting perspective, to just be like, hey, a little bit of patience, which I guess that probably would speak more to the likes of Juice Scruggs.
That's what it
Green.
Is. And can you afford to be with the level? Look, first of all, I mean, his knowledge base is just ridiculous. You know, you could tell as a general manager, he knew everything about every team. That's just the observation. But, you know, he mentioned his problem was with the interior line.
All of our problems are with the interior line.
I don't know how you. I mean,
he making me feel like I just throw the whole line away. I feel like Shaq Mason was probably the one of the consistent ones.
And
he said the best years
behind him.
Yeah, I'm just like,
then there's problems at center, and then Kenyon Green.
Yeah, I think we've all settled on the idea that Shaq Mason is obviously over the hill, right? And it's like the problem is you're not also not getting like consistency necessarily from him. Like he can get got sometimes. I think that was something that we understood, but it feels like, you know, the idea of, hey, you can use free agents to kind of help subsidize what you're doing there. I feel like that might be the place where And of course, like, I don't know, he wasn't giving us the deep dive into this team in particular. Although, again, he did see him with the Jets, as he mentioned. Mm-hmm. But tackles, like, would you be okay if they went about this where the tackles are the same, maybe they replace left guard or what have you, free agent wise?
Well, we heard Slowick.
And continue to leave, like, leave space for the young talent when it comes to center, and Juice Scruggs, and then even maybe Kenyon Green or whatever ends up at left guard to develop.
I would be okay with it, and I heard Bobby Slowick, you know, we played it earlier talking about Laremy Tunsil's playing at a very high level in recent games. I get all that. I'm still worried
about pass blocking.
That's where I was going. I'm still worried about the run aspect of that and the room aspect of that. I don't know the influence he's having on all these guys in that offensive line room is the best. And so, you know, what do you do? Keep your tackles and work on the interior. I get it, because that's where you've already paid the tackles too.
Yeah, and I mean, the run block has, I mean, at least if I'm utilizing Pro Football Folks, that you just get a general idea. And of course, again, their grades are not, they're subjective. They're not, mm-hmm. They're not ones that you could say absolute or in any way. But even then, like, you see kind of those numbers tick up over the last couple of weeks, as he's speaking. And so, I mean, maybe that is the case. Maybe patience is ultimately the way. And like, with us being in this, like, we're in, being in the thick of it, being in the middle mm-hmm. of it, like the urgency and like the, you know, just like the supreme want to get to those places maybe takes away. And that's where the general manager of the like of Mike Mayock and of course Nick Caserio have to be the ones that preach patience, right?
Yeah.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we've reached about that time where we turn over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got for us?
Yeah, man. Top ways people try to get off the phone and just exit the conversation, period.
Okay.
713-572-4610. I think Lopez kind of motivated me on this topic last night.
All right.
Well, he couldn't stay for another drink. He had to, you know, he had to go walk, feed the dog. And he had to talk to the wife.
All
right. What's the best ways you get out of a conversation? We'll do that next.
Hey, y'all. It's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era. So join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down live in D.C., courtesy of USAA. Mm. We are getting ready for Army-Navy game tomorrow. And I'm enjoying D.C. so far, man. This is my first time in D.C.
Yeah, it's cool, but I mean, look, USAA, they work with the level of efficiency of a
military academy.
Military academy. And they got us regimented to, like, there's not a lot of free time to just go explore the city. We are doing
we on the clock.
Army, Navy
stuff,
on the clock,
which
baby.
Is fine, man.
Yeah,
it's,
no,
it's
I love fun. It, man.
Step
yeah.
off.
Yeah, no, they ain't boring at all. So yeah. I've been enjoying the festivities, and we're probably going to be doing some more later this evening.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to ask this, because John Lopez, I was kind of cracking up last night. Because so we was at the hotel bar, had a drink or two, and we was about to walk up to the room. Then we ran into
our guy from San Antonio.
Yeah.
Jason Minix.
Yeah, Jason Minix.
Yeah.
Right.
Shout out to Jason Minix. And he was like, wait, y'all got to come back. Have one more drink with me.
He was persistent.
Yeah. Lopez was like, no, I can't do it. I got to call my wife, man. Like, come on, man. You can face and then me and Reggie, you can FaceTime her down here.
Yeah. I'm going to FaceTime my wife next to you two knuckleheads.
I thought that was the whole point of FaceTime.
Yeah. Not in a bar
just
with
FaceTime
you guys.
FaceTime people in public and let people know you have an iPhone.
I thought you was the man of the house,
not
man.
With you two hovering over
you
my shoulder.
You should have been like, woman, I'm having a drink with the fellas.
That's right. All right.
He was just like, oh, no. So it
he
got
wanted
me
to go to sleep. He yeah. wanted to go.
To be fair, there were a lot of factors. My feet were hurting from those shoes. I told you that. They were too tight. And I'd had two drinks, and I had to call my wife, and I was like, I've had enough.
Boo this man. Boo this man.
Yeah, but it got me thinking of different excuses people make to get off the phone or try to end the conversation.
Yeah.
So the ones the first one that came up to my mind was the, all right then. All righty then.
Yeah, that's a solid one.
All right.
Everybody knows. Well, I was about to say everybody knows what that means, but not everybody knows.
Yeah.
That.
No, yeah.
People, they, you love the people, but you kind of don't love the people.
That's
that
mine.
Just keep trying.
All right. All right. Let's go.
Lopez do that all the time whenever we in our show meeting. Yeah. And Parker be sitting there like, yeah, I think that's all I got. He'd be like, all righty.
Not giving you an opportunity to say anything else.
He'd be like, all righty. Good deal.
You said it. I didn't.
Yeah. He'd be standing up with his backpack on. Good deal.
All right.
All right.
We'll see you.
I was like, damn, man. Hold on.
Hey, you got to be direct.
Yeah. What about this one? Hold on. My mama called me.
Oh, see, now. Yeah,
I got to answer this.
I got to.
Let me get off this
phone. There's no retort.
You can't get mad at your mama.
If mom calls, you got to answer.
You probably know they're lying, but there's still no, you can't say no. Screw your mom, you know.
Well, I mean, I feel like that'd be fighting at that point. Exactly. There was something else happening.
What about this one? Girl, I got this grease on the stove. You know I can't be burning none. Let me call you back real quick.
The cooking excuse?
Yeah, the cooking excuse.
That's a solid one.
It's not my go-to.
I need to lean on that a little more.
Yeah, but you can't do that with barbecue. We know that you don't need to get that right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, just leave it. It's cooking slow and slow.
Yeah, yeah. You could talk and chew gum at the same, or you could walk and chew gum at the same time.
Yeah.
This one is my favorite one because my wife's grandmother used this all the time. Mm-hmm. Every time she called, she'd be like, hey, I got to close this garage. Let me call.
Close the garage?
I got to call you back.
Mm-hmm.
Close the garage.
Her excuse is, I got to close the garage. I'm going to call you back.
That's a new one on me.
Yeah, yeah. She feel like the garage is open. She got to close the garage.
Very unique.
That's interesting. Like, what does the garage supposedly have in mind?
I know.
The opening?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, when older people get older, they just say whatever. They don't give a damn.
But that's the thing is, like, if you're going to say whatever, just be like, all right, bye now. Right? Like, why create the pretense at that point? Just be like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
Yeah. What about this one? I ain't gonna hold you.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't gonna hold you. You know what? Yeah. You know, I'm gonna let you get back to it.
I'm gonna let you go.
Let me let you go.
Look, I want to stay.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna hold you.
I'm gonna let you go.
Yeah, you good.
I done talked your ear off. Let you go.
What about this one? Let me get these kids together. Let me call you back.
Kids are acting up. Kids are acting up.
Man, I got to get the kids. No, your kids is grown. What you mean? Your kids don't stay with you. Let me get these kids together. They over here acting the fool.
There's some solid text coming in on the text line. Somebody said, hey, I've got to go. I pulled up here as they're sitting on their couch. That's a good one. Just like, hey, I'm coming up. Somebody said, I tell my girlfriend, okay, babe, I got to hang up now. That's pretty direct. I'm hanging up now.
I like it. I like that.
And then 281, as a truck driver, my go-to is, hey, I'm getting called into this weigh station. Ah, see, plausible deniability is the name of the
game. That's a great one.
Plausible deniability.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, see, now, you're going to different lengths. 713, put your phone in airplane mode. It shows up as a dropped call. But here's the thing, right? If it's a drop call,
they're going to call back.
Somebody's calling back.
Yeah.
You got to keep it in airplane mode at that point.
Yeah. Sorry, my phone died at that point is what you're doing.
What about when you on the phone with somebody, you going to a place, and then you pull up to the place. Let me see what they talking about in here. Let me call you
back. Oh, you know what I do sometimes.
Let me see what they doing in here. I'm going to call you back.
Because we do so many of our conversations, I do anyway, while we're in our vehicle. Usually if I'm at home, I'm just texting. But if I'm going to talk to somebody, it's while I'm driving. I'm just, nothing else to do other than drive. But when I want to get out of that, I was like, oh, man, I'm pulling in right now. I'm pulling in. Let me get back with you. Yeah, I'm pulling in right now.
Yeah. The one I use pretty often is, man, let me see what she want, man. Let me talk to her. She want me to talk to her.
Gotta talk to my wife.
Let me get off this phone. I actually had to do that one time.
That's the point of having a wife, though, ain't it?
Oh, yeah. She's the scapegoat.
It's the perfect excuse for pretty much anything, right? You don't feel like going out with your boys? The old lady don't want me to go.
You think she's going
to
let me
do that? You know what? Hold on. Wait. What was the reason that Lopez gave us last night?
Yeah, I got to talk to the old lady.
I did.
Wow.
I got
to use his wife as an excuse.
I got to talk to her, man.
Hand to God.
It was one time I was sitting next to my wife, and she was on the phone with somebody for a long time. And she like, oh, yeah, Edward, he's here. Let me call you back. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm like, I don't want nothing. You can keep talking. I'm good. She was like, she started hitting me.
Yeah, don't blow up her spot. She found it out.
I'm like, I'm cool. I'm like, you keep talking all day long. I'm having a good time right now. You keep talking.
Oh, 281, you're a savage. They said, I just hang up mid-sentence.
That's actually a good play.
That's not bad. Yeah. I kind of like that.
That's
and
a good
then
play.
8-3-2 is pretty solid. This is Jimbo H-Town who said, "You about the, you do the." All right then.
Yeah. You know what I hate that, and this only happens. It seems to me between women more so than because guys don't want to spend a lot of time on the phone. Just generally speaking, in my experience. They'll have, like, long pauses in their conversation, like they're trying to think of something else to say.
Yeah.
Like you know, my wife will be talking to my daughter, and it's quiet for, like, 20 seconds. Oh, what about blah, blah, blah? I'm like, dude, you're just forcing it now, man. You're just forcing it. Like, if there's a long pause of no conversation.
That's when the all right then.
That means it's
all right,
over.
Then. All right.
That means it's over.
Yeah, no. Man. My mother got me with the all right. She do that all the time. Like. Sometimes she'll call me and talk all day. I just let her go on. But whenever I'm calling to check in, I'll be like, hey, what you doing? Oh, nothing. Yeah. All right, then. I'm like, no. I'm like, wait, hold on. Don't try to rush me off the phone. Like, wait a minute.
She said, you asked the question. I answered.
Yeah.
Complete. We have done it. We did the thing.
Yeah, I'm like, you over here acting like your daddy. That's what your daddy used to do.
But. One of the things that I realized only recently, one of my homeboys, and we were like, you know, you have some friends that you talk to a decent amount to. Like, yeah. That's one of my homeboys is one of the ones that we'll get on the phone. But I know when he's done because he'll start an appointment for the next call, which isn't actually an appointment, but it's just to let
to
me know.
Get out.
He's like, all right, bro, I'll catch you next. I'll call you in a weekend. Like, you're not going to call me on a weekend. You just want to say we done here, which is fine.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Real quick, I got a text on the bat phone here. My go-to is, wait a minute, is that a monkey or a squirrel? I got to go see what this is.
Oh, man.
Like, they're looking in the yard. Is that a monkey or a squirrel? I got to go see what this is.
See, y'all that are doing the absurd ones. I don't like you. Yeah. Like, somebody was like, I got to go. The Queen of England just walked in.
Don't do that.
I will call you back and cuss you out. Don't do that.
Yeah. All right. But salute to everybody with all the fine excuses.
Yeah.
But the Rockets. So the Rockets got a W against the Golden State Warriors.
Wait, what was that? Let me hear that one more time.
Mm-hmm. The Rockets got a W. Over the Golden State Warriors.
You love to hear it. You sure
yeah,
do.
Man. And look, I think people still kind of on a high. I know they're going to Vegas to finish off the Cup.
NBA Cup. Semifinal game tomorrow versus the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah. So the night they won that game against the Warriors, man, I was so happy for Rockets fans. And particular one Rockets fan. So shout out to Brado and Will.
Yeah, man.
Do a fantastic job on Spaces after the games, after the Rockets games. They do a really good job.
And I think they podcast and like do more than just the Spaces, but I think that Spaces thing really gets popping.
Yeah, nah, I love following those two. But here's a Rockets fans on Rockets fan on Spaces that night, and he was feeling a little bit emotional.
Bro, like, I'm so dead ass, bro. Like, we finally beat these, bro. Like, bro, first of all, I want to say f*** you to Steve Kerr, you bitch ass. You low-key racist asshole ass. You named your son Nicholas. So you can name your son Nick Kerr, you a bitch. Steph Curry, f*** you too. You a bitch ass. Draymond, you donkey teeth. Loud mouth ass bitch. You cry to the ref ass. F*** you, bro. And also that Lindy Waters too. That's a girl name, bro. I never heard saw a name Lindy, bro. Also the name Brandon Pozimski too, bro. Bro, what the Pods. Pods. It's so stupid ass now, bro. Buddy Hill, you look like the Bucky's logo with your big teeth.
Wow. Wow.
That last part got me, man.
How do you get so emotional that you turn into a roast? Like, that was the thing. It wasn't like, I'm so emotional about this that, like, I just, you know. But he was like, I'm so emotional that now I am Cat Williams and I'm going to fry the rest of you up. Like, that's the thing that happened there that I found was incredible.
First of all, I love the passion. It keeps us employed. But that's a lot of passion for a regular season game.
Yeah, man.
That's a lot of passion for a regular season game.
It was a lot of straight
But it
losses,
wasn't a regular
man.
Season game. It was an NBA Cup game. I'm telling you.
Okay.
Catch the fever, baby.
Okay.
NBA Cup.
Yeah,
let's
man.
Get it.
Called him a bitch. That's one of my favorite insults. When someone calls you a bitch ass. That's next level.
But you know what that was? Like, that wasn't just joy over winning. That was relief.
Yeah.
That was 15 times going up against this team and catching an L. And that was needed over all that time. Because as you said, right, as much as I'm, you know, I'm serious that, like, I think the NBA Cup is developing a situation with stakes that makes those games more important. We can't ignore the fact that those teams have, like, they have history.
Yeah.
And beating the Warriors meant something to that man, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Meant something real big.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's all I got, man. That's all I got.
You said all I got like you didn't give us another flawless iteration.
Yeah, that's all I got, man. Yeah. Honestly, man, I'm thinking about not Justin Tucker, but Kyle Tucker.
Kyle Tucker, that's right. So, first
still
of all,
coming through, man.
Yeah, that was Figgy's mixtape. You get that at 1:20 p.m. every weekday here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. We've got some developing stories, the way that we'll go with this.
Yeah.
As, Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, and I believe, is he still Fox Sports as well?
Mm-hmm.
Not more than 20 minutes ago, letting us know that there's some news. Things are brewing with Kyle Tucker. We'll give you the details that we have as of right now. Next.
Thank you, Figgy.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
No, Mr. Big Voice Guy, we are live not from the studios, the Twin Peaks Studios. We're actually out on location. Where? What location is that?
This is the Army-Navy game.
Yeah, the 125th Army-Navy game. We're in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. In fact, we are currently sitting along the National
Military Women's Memorial.
Yeah, that is where we are. And it has been quite a pleasure to be out here. The experience, and we're early into this, but the experience has quite been incredible. But I could wax poetic about that, or I could tell you about the breaking news that's happening right now when it comes to your Houston Astros. And, yep, it really did happen. All the smoke was not there was fire there.
It was
there.
A fire.
There was fire there.
Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
It sure is, as Kyle Tucker will no longer be a Houston Astro. We kind of started getting comfortable with this idea as the week went along, and we absolutely have it. Jeff Passan and Chandler Rome both having this pretty early on, that Kyle Tucker will go and play in Chicago. He'll play with the Cubs. Coming back to your Astros, Isak Paredes, who plays third base, Hayden Wesneski, who is a right-handed pitcher. He's been pitching this year, and he is from Houston. He went to Cy Fair and actually Sam Houston State as well. And then Cam Smith, who is a third base prospect, top 100 prospect in baseball as well. Those are the three that return for Kyle Tucker, the 1 year of Kyle Tucker, and maybe more should the Cubs extend him. What is your immediate reaction to hearing three for one that Dana Brown and the Astros acquired?
Who won the trade?
Tell us who won the trade now.
I'm not gonna
winners
do that.
And losers.
Now.
But I think anybody looking at this has to say the era is over. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean
that there can't be a new era.
There's going to be a big, huge drop-off.
You see
what
I did there? You see it?
There can't be a new era.
You see what I did there? Like
I saw what you did.
Okay.
A new era hat. Look, but the era that we knew for the past several years is over. Because not only is Kyle Tucker traded, and he was integral in that era, but they're going younger, which is probably something they have to do. I cannot imagine Alex Bregman staying now. With that being the case, I think
I could see it. During
the break, there's a path to selling that they could still up the ante for him.
Because I don't think so. You're right. Because
One
of the reasons that I was thinking, I was like, okay, that trade happened, and then you got some value back. But I'm like, unless you would move him to first base, like that, because Isak Paredes plays third base. Cam Smith, rather, I almost called him Cam Ward, the quarterback in Miami. Cam Smith is a third base prospect.
Yeah.
This is very clear that they are expecting Alex Bregman to be gone.
And then that leads to domino number three, Fromber.
Hey, you got boxes, buddy.
Yeah.
Like this feels like this is a full on situation where they're going to try and get younger, get assets, and kind of maybe take a little bit of a step back. Isak Paredes is not a bad player. I don't think that he is an incredible player by any means, but like it was weird. Last year he played for two teams. He was with the Rays, and then he was traded to the Cubs. With the Rays, he looked still pretty solid, like a solid contributor on that team. It was when he went to the Cubs that he fell off, and I don't know if I can begrudge him that, because the Cubs were not a good baseball team last year. Like, let's just be flatly honest in that regard. And so, again, we talk about the idea of revitalization or whatever. I think that he could be serviceable. The questionable one here, because Cam Smith, again, I talked about it. I went and looked at the top 100 prospects. Cam Smith is He's seventh for the Cubs when it comes to prospects, but then he is high up. I think he was maybe like 30th when it came to the top 100 prospects. So that's good. Like the or sorry, 73rd. Okay, I lied.
But still, top 100.
He's a top 100 prospect, double A right now. Like maybe in a season or two, do you see him at, possibly being at the big league level? The problem for me is Wisniewski, who is. I mean, he was a highly regarded prospect apparently, but. He did not pitch particularly well last year for the Cubs. Now, of course, you come back to the idea that the Cubs, again, not a great baseball team. One of the things I wonder, though, is this a car wash candidate? Because one of the things I love is Baseball Savant. They get into some of like the advanced stats, and some of the things that you'll see with his profile is, you know, he did not miss barrels. Like the swing and miss, you know, was, I guess, moderate. But the average exit velocity is high. Mm-hmm. His full extension is he's in the 93rd percentile of that. Like, it feels like there's some things that you could look at here. Like, the chase rate is in the 65th percentile. So it's like, all right, not bad.
Yeah.
There's some things that are here. Now, the fastball velo isn't very high, and that's something that, you know, you wonder, are you going to be able to get? But the average exit velocity is still nice there. But you do wonder if this is something where they look, okay, where we have a base here that we could work off of, that if we put him into the car wash, especially a young guy, can you get a really nice player for a long period of time? That might be the thought process there with Wisniewski. But it did feel like it does feel like, especially with us finding out a few minutes before the trade gets finalized, that, hey, Wisniewski, he's from Houston.
Yeah.
That felt like them selling like, hey, don't worry about him not being as good. He's from Houston. He's yours.
Cy Fair zone. And the Astros have such, as we talked about earlier in the show, I mean, what they do is identify talent and how that talent will fit with their coaching and their system. But no, it is this one hurts. Kyle Tucker was clearly, you know, he and Yordan were the two biggest pieces if you were going to continue to be, hey, windows open, let's go in, let's, you know, bring in the proven prospects, let's bring in a proven players, I should say, and make it happen again. Now you're building. Now it might, again, it might be a year, and all of a sudden they're back in the postseason or back in the championship contention. But you are retooling. I mean, that's the best. That's the nicest way to put it.
And that's the friendliest way of putting it. Yeah. Assuming that they actually get everything to hit, right? If things do not hit,
right?
Where are you at that point?
And also, you know, I mean, there's no way. I mean, where's your justification with Fromber now? You know, in terms
that one it makes sense, and I imagine that could be on the horizon, right?
Yeah. That's he's looking for a big payday.
Yeah,
100%.
So.
The question I have, and I think it really comes in on the text line, is you have to look around and you go, hey, what does that do with Altuve? Do you feel good about that? And I don't know. I mean, I've got friends in my text right now saying that here comes a full rebuild. I'm not certain. Like, you still have Yordan and Jose Altuve, and I guess Pena to some degree, however that hits you, Yainer Diaz. Like, you have some pieces, and you're adding back serviceable ones. Well, I guess, here, let me ask it like this. Do you feel like there's a possibility of still contending in the AL? Or AL West.
In the division.
Right, in the division.
Yeah.
And then even if you look around the AL, like, you got the Yankees. Obviously.
Well, you're going to have to contend with Bregman maybe over there.
That's possible. That is a possibility, right? Like,
I think they are going to try to give it a go as, like, let's try to go for it again this year. But let's say they are not a good team.
Yeah.
How they started off last season, let's say it stayed like that the whole season up until the trade deadline. I do think it would be some conversations like, hey.
About selling.
What y'all doing with Altuve?
Yeah.
He ain't happy. What y'all doing?
But it felt like the Altuve deal. The Altuve deal definitely felt like a Astro forever deal. And then Yordan, that'd be selling.
I'm not moving him at all.
People would be apoplectic, you know.
Yeah, but it is going to be some pieces where, you know, they are going to try to sell.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they're going to sell Presley or Hader or what. It is going to be some pieces where they, you know, try to get what they can for.
But one of the things that we spoke with Adam Spillane about is, like, when you do, you know, paradigm shifting deals like this, and that's what it is, you do have to have something that you can sell the public. You can sell these guys.
Yeah.
Like, they are very sellable.
Yeah.
I don't think they're in the same hemisphere, and their record will show you that, as let's say, Fromber, Bregman, and Tucker. I mean, they're not even close. And I know different positions and all that.
For sure.
But in terms of, like, what that makes you a contender, they're not even close. But you can sell that. You can say, hey, Cam Smith plays, you know, he's a big-time prospect, can play the position. You can also sell, you know, that Paredes could play first base.
Oh, he put the sauce on it.
Oh, yeah.
That's
like,
you know, he's like, Isak, you're home.
The Hispanic coming out of you.
Paredes. Walls, by the way, if you want to translate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Isak Walls.
No, don't call him that. Don't do that. No, I felt like this did feel like it was needed. You're clearly seeing the opportunity. It does feel like, again, if we're trying to surmise what the thought process is as an organization from this, what do you think it is? Because for me, it does feel like this is, hey, we're actually not rebuild. Like, we're trying to retool and be back. Yeah. But before Jordan's contract is up, right?
Like,
in a couple
question.
Of seasons.
I'm glad you asked that question, because we haven't mentioned one name, I don't think, in this segment, that this is really what it's all about. Jim Crane. This is Jim Crane.
No, of course.
None of this happens. If Jim Crane had, busted his standard of no more than 6-year deal, no more than that, had he decided to, hey, Kyle Tucker, we are going to pay you $450 million for 8 years or 9 years or whatever it is. Don't worry about it. We got you. He didn't do either of those things. Fromber, same thing. So this is Jim Crane, best owner in town, most successful owner in town, but he has those standards, and he decided, we got to retool.
Right, and I think for me, because someone's on the text line saying, don't sugarcoat it, this is a rebuild. I don't necessarily believe that, and the reason why I kind of put the number as I did, in a couple seasons, I think that's when you can get off some of the money. Like, that's one of the complicating factors with this. When you start talking about Jim Crane, it's not like he hasn't spent it all, right? And I think that I'm trying to be fair with this, because there is an argument to be made, as you did. You can go above that, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to go broke by
it's not an MLB rule.
Right, you're not going broke off of anything.
It's your rule.
Right, yeah. But, there is a lot of money, and it points to some of the bad contracts and bad situations, or at least the contracts that have turned bad at the very least, right, that have happened for this team. And those can kind of come off of your payroll in a couple years, to where maybe some of that money that is allocated in debt right now can then be put back in to accentuate a foundation that you might have. So I don't know that this is fully full rebuild. And maybe you say a year or two or 2 years sounds like a rebuild. Like, okay, then I hear you. But I do think that this does make sense, at least with the circumstances that you had and that you've gotten yourself to with the moves that you have had in years past. So, very interesting thing that, if you did not catch it, Kyle Tucker has been moved on from. He has been traded. He will go to the Chicago Cubs. Coming back, third baseman Isak Paredes, third base prospect Cam Smith, and then Hayden Wisniewski, who is a right-handed pitcher. All those players will now be Astros. As this offseason, we're seeing the moves happen. This is the first thing to kind of land, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to offseason.
This is the big one.
So we actually are getting movement now and getting a little bit of an idea of what this Astros team will look like in 2025. Right now, what I can tell you is it looks like a Football Friday out there at Big City Wings in Humble, where Clint and Ron are. Then they will conduct the drive today. Clint, Ron, what's it look like?
Yeah, the hell with that football. Let's go on here, man, with that this Kyle Tucker thing. I know I'm not on an island. I think there are people who are going to text in and maybe call in and just change the way that they feel just because it's coming from me. But I'm telling you what, this nonsense of the Astros choosing to be the Kansas City Royals, choosing to be the Pittsburgh Pirates, choosing to be the Cincinnati Reds, and people here just rolling with it. Oh, that is wild to me. That is wild to me that Kyle Tucker, and let me tell you what, you're about to piss off. You're about to piss off the best player in the history of the organization, because he stepped the hell out and said, Alex Bregman needs to be back here. What position does Paredes play?
Yeah, third base.
What that mean? What that
you
mean?
You know what that means. You know what that means.
Don't forget Cam Smith is a third base prospect. So that's the future, too.
And so now my man's, Jose Altuve, didn't agree to sign over here, and now he'd agreed to sign over here, and he just woke up on a Friday, and there is no Kyle Tucker and probably no Alex Bregman. What the hell?
And probably no Fromber either. And as I mentioned, I'm in lockstep with you there, Ron, because this isn't an MLB rule about
all
their decisions. This is an Astros Jim Crane rule.
It's just wild to me. Hey, man, if they're saying, hey, they going to fix it. They going to make it work.
Everybody relax.
No.
Everybody relax.
Here we go.
No,
A-Town waiting in, baby.
You relax, Aaron.
This is actually – this is – I don't know Aaron. I don't know, who's Aaron?
R-E-L-A-X.
This is a step in the right direction. You've watched A-plus –
I'm
telling you. You gonna question the decision making of an organization that's done more with less more than anybody in pro sports.
I'm gonna question the decision making of stuff that don't smell.
That's fine. We questioned it with Springer.
That's what I'm gonna do. Can I finish
this?
You
mind if I finish
this? It's a Friday.
Hey, Correa. We watched Correa walk out for nothing. Nothing. Right, so now you got. He's not gonna pay Tucker. He's not gonna pay 8 to 10 year deal. He ain't gonna do it. He's not. It ain't in his game. They gonna pay a 12 year deal. Ain't in his game. Would you rather him just wait and let him walk, or would you rather for him bring something in return?
Hey, just accept it, baby. Right? Hey, I don't remember y'all. I don't remember y'all just accepting DeAndre Hopkins in World Series. All right. Let's see if it makes sense then.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's roll out. I can't wait to see this outfit.
Everybody relax.
Jake Myers. And DuPont and
it'll be the same outfit it was all year last year.
And Chaz, yeah.
We'll see, Jordan playing a good amount of left. Yeah.
Yeah, he should.
We'll see.
Everybody relax.
Y'all keep making it make sense to yourselves. Y'all know y'all ain't foolish. Y'all looking at there. Y'all know that. Y'all know that it makes sense. Y'all know when y'all let other people go that there was a lineup that made sense. All right, we'll see. Peace out.
How you boys doing?
We'll see.
Awesome, man. This is a great event we do.
I'm beside myself,
it's
man.
It's so good, and I'm going to put the Odyssey app on and hear you two guys go at it, and it's going to be a great day.
Yeah, I mean, he's real upset that y'all are out in Humble and that he is in D.C. He really wanted to
that
be
was
out
my
there.
Home. That was my home, Big City Wings.
Before I lived out there. I want to say, Lopez, hey, man, I'm with you, dog. I'm not a sock wearer. I don't really like to wear.
Y'all
socks.
Nasty. Y'all know y'all shoes stink. Come on, not
unless I just absolutely have to. Yeah.
Y'all know y'all shoes stink. Wait, you putting in the sneakers? You putting raw dog in sneakers, dog?
He's raw dog in sneakers right now.
Oh my God!
Man. I got. Yeah,
not the
like
low
socks.
Cut sock.
And he sweats like Tyler.
Socks are unnecessary. I haven't worn socks maybe twice in the last 10 years.
When I don't have to, I don't put them on.
Lopez, you walk around in them flip-flops and in them Hey Dudes. That's a little different story.
That's right.
I think them
amazing
breed a little bit.
A little Columbia
Ron
action.
I got these J's cinched up over here.
I'm telling you, baby, leave him
in the garage?
I'm good. No, but I got a little action, baby. I got that little
gold bond in there.
Got a little gold bond, baby.
Got a little powder action going
got
on
a little
right
powder,
now.
Baby. Got a little powder, baby.
Shoes.
I'm good to go. Yeah, man.
All right, fellas, we got to let y'all cook here because y'all clearly got a lot of fire and passion about this, man. And I bet it's a whole bunch of Football Friday as well.